I always need a minute after that song. But it wouldn't be country if it didn't make you depressed, right? I'm actually really excited to be here today. My name is Frances. And yes, I drew the short straw, which is why I'm here on Faith Sounds Like Country Week. Actually, I really like country music. I know, I have to confess, I like it. People love to make fun of country music, though, don't they? Like, they love to make fun of the twangy accents and the whiny guitar. And there's tons of jokes about country music. In fact, you probably have heard the joke, what happens when you play a country song backwards? You get your truck back, your dog back, your wife back. But I got a whole bunch of them. How many country singers does it take to change a light bulb? Two. One to change the light bulb and the other to sing songs about the good times he had with the old bulb. Did you hear about Jack? Now, Jack loved country line dancing. In fact, he loved country line dancing so much that he had to enter a two-step program. Yeah, thanks for the booze, Mom. Last one is a quote by Bob Newhart. Bob Newhart says, I'm not a fan of country music, and I don't mean to denigrate those who like it. And for those of you who like country music, denigrate means put down. I'll let you catch up to that one. But country music, in spite of the fact that people love to make fun of it, and they love to make fun of themselves in country music, is incredibly popular. In fact, it's not all that uncommon for, you know, the most popular record of a year. Record? How old am I? The most popular album of a year is actually a country album. In fact, nowadays, country artists are now played on pop and rock radio. You hear people like Taylor Swift or Lady Antebellum. These are country artists. Carrie Underwood. In fact, we're going to be singing a Carrie Underwood song next week. And people are familiar with these artists, but they're actually country artists. And people who used to be rock artists or pop artists are now playing country music. In fact, you turn on the radio, you wonder what happened to Sheryl Crow. She sings country music. Jewel sings country music. So there's kind of this it's a little bit less defined in terms of country music used to be completely separate. No, it's actually very, very mixed. And a lot of country music sounds very different now than what you might expect. Now, I love country music because it's really a slice of Americana. Like, it's American music. It's only about 100 years old, and it was born and bred right here in America, as they say in country music, America. And it is really reflective of the culture that it was born in. You see this rugged individualism, you know, this pride in wide open spaces and farming and getting your hands dirty. You see this love of country, this patriotism. In fact, the Dixie Chicks found out the hard way that you don't talk about America if you're a country music star. The funny thing about country music, probably my favorite part, is that it has a really kind of crass sense of humor. I mean, what other type of music other than country music would have a song called Red Solo Cup? Extolling the virtues of a red soul, drinking beer out of a red solo cup. Right? Real song. Now, there's a lot of songs in country music that have really funny titles. So I want to play a game with you guys. In fact, you guys on your way in should have received a program that looks like this. Now, Dwayne was talking about the communication card. I want you to grab the communication card in one hand that looks like this. And in your other hand, I want you to grab the blue outline. Now, if this is helpful for you, you can take notes on this blue outline later. But for now, we're just going to play a game with it. So grab one in each of your hand, and I'm going to read a country song title. And if you think it's a real country song title, raise up the blue outline. You guys got it? Blue outline is a real country song title. And if you think I'm making it up, I want you to raise up the communication card. So if you think it's a real country song, it's the blue outline. If you think it's fake, it's the communication card. You guys got it? Here we go. The first one is called I Dropped the Bookcase on My Darlin' and Pleaded Shelf Defense. Real or fake? What do you think? That's actually a fake country song. How about this one? Achy breaky, hanky panky, am I drunk or are you skanky? Real or fake? What do you think? Kind of 50-50. It's actually a fake country song. Okay, I don't know whether to kill myself or go bowling. Real or fake? What do you guys think? That's a real country song. And it was written by the same man who wrote the song, "Her Teeth Was Stained, But Her Heart Was Pure," when the girl found out the song was about her. Okay, how about this one? I gave her a ring, she gave me the finger. Real country song or fake country song? That's a real song. And it's worth looking up on YouTube. How about this one? Perfect for the season we're going into. Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. Real or fake? It's a real country song. In fact, this was the very first country song that I ever heard because my dad used to sing it over and over again. In fact, my dad has a really goofy sense of humor, so I thought he was making it up. But I had no idea until recently that it's a real song. And my favorite line is, "I've got the will, Lord, if you've got the toe." Drop kick. What about this one? If I can't be number one in your life, then number two on you. What do you think, real or fake? That's a real country song. Okay, you're the reason our kids are so ugly. Real or fake? That's a Loretta Lynn song. And would you believe it? It's actually really sweet. It's a love song. You have to listen to it. Okay, here's one. I thought I had Tourette's, but I just like talking dirty to you. Real or fake? That's a fake one. I have one more. I'm so miserable without you, it's just like having you here. That's a real country song. Now, as you can see, country song just has this real sense of humor. And what Matt, my husband, pointed out is you actually know what the song's about when you hear the title. I mean, the song Red Solo Cup is about a red solo cup. It's not about, you know, someone's fight to become famous or something. No, it's about exactly what you think it's going to be about. So the titles are often really funny in old school country, and they tell a story. In fact, if you like to take notes on your blue outline, that's the first blank. Country music tells a story more than anything. In fact, there's a quote by Etta James, who's a singer, famous for singing the song At Last. She says, "Country music has all the great stories." Country music tells stories about lifetime love. It tells stories about, well, as you saw in the song that they just sang, it's one person's life, and you hear him as an 8-year-old, and then you hear him as about an 18-year-old, and you hear him as a young adult, and you hear someone's life in different ways. And the stories are often so clear that you can put yourself exactly in the situation the person's singing about. In fact, there's this song, a lot of country music makes me cry. It's called "I Drive Your Truck," and it's all about driving a soldier's truck after that person has died. And it's talking about the specific things like a half bottle of Gatorade rolling around on the floor of the truck. And it's this song about mourning someone's life. And you can, even if you've never been there, you can put yourself there because the story is so clear about what's going on. And country music tells these incredible stories. And they just draw you in. And I can't tell you how many times I've cried. In fact, I was telling one of my best friends who is from Texas. I was asking her, you know, you're from Texas, so it means you have to like country music. It's like a rule, right? What should I use as a song to introduce the service? Because I like country music, but I just don't have the right one yet. And I said, I need a country song that tells a story. And she said, you mean all of them? And it's true, because you really hear over and over again real stories. So as I started to think about country music, and we've been talking about how faith sounds like different genres of music, how does faith sound like country music? And I realized that faith is a story, like country music tells a story. And it made me think about my own life, my faith. Is my story worth telling? Is the story that my life, as it unfolds, is it actually something that someone would write a song about? Is it worth telling? And I had a crazy week this week. It was one of those weeks where it felt like there was just so much stuff going on. I mean, there was car problems, and I mean, there is never a good time for car problems, right? But I had all these car problems, which meant, you know, juggling around, figuring out how to get places. And my son, he'll be 6 months old next Saturday, he decided that sleeping is for chumps this week. He decided that, you know what, 3 a.m. is the time to wake up and be like, hey, Mom and Dad, you guys aren't doing anything. Let's talk. Let's have a good time. And then just the things of life, the regular things, you know, work and changing diapers and diapers and diapers and diapers. You know, the things that just laundry and chores and life, just it was so much. And I thought, you know what, this story isn't worth telling, which is why I just spent all this time telling you guys. Sorry about that. But this story is one that when I think, you know, at the end of my life, I want my life to have mattered. I want my life to mean something significant. But don't we all? That's one of those things that I have yet to meet somebody that says, you know, at the end of my life, I want people to throw me in the ground and never say my name again. I want the things that I spent the decades that I had been allotted in my life doing things, but I want nobody to remember those things. I want my life to be absolutely meaningless. I mean, it's a depressing thought, isn't it? And this time of year, when a lot of parents are sending their kids back to school, or maybe you're going back to school, and I know you guys are going to boo me off the stage when I say this, but now that it's September, we've got a slippery slope to the holidays. I mean, right? You go into a store, and behind the Halloween decorations that have been up since July, there are Christmas decorations, right? It's like you're going to blink and they're here. And as we come to the beginning of a new year in school or the end of a year, you start to think about, like, what have I done for the last year? What has my life meant for the last week or month or year or decade? What have I done? And that question, is my story worth telling, is one that comes up when we stop to breathe a minute. But often we're so busy, we never even stop to think, is this story worth telling? So I want to look today, as we open the Bible, about what makes a great story. What makes a story worth telling? And we're going to look at the story of Abraham, because Abraham's story was one that took up quite a bit of the very first book of the Bible. And it's one that his name and his story are repeated in other parts of the Bible. His story was so worth telling that it was told over and over again in the Bible, and it will be told even today in this room, centuries later. So before we get into that, I'd like you guys to pray with me. So would you pray with me? God, I pray as we open the Bible today, as we look at the story of Abraham and think about what makes a great story, God, I pray that we would hear you, that all the things that we think that make a great story, God, I pray that we just set them aside for now. And I pray that we'd hear what it is that you want to write in our lives. God, I pray that for all the life stuff that might be pressing in on us, the things that we're thinking, okay, this service, I have to wash the car and do chores, I have to mow the lawn. God, I just pray that for this moment, that we would be able to focus on you, that we would hear your voice, that you would encourage us, that you would teach us what it is that we need to know. And God, more than anything, I pray that we would encounter a living, active God who is still writing a story in our lives. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Abraham, I can't call him Abraham. It's not country enough. So this is the Ballad of Abe, right? I wish I had like a bass, you know, dun, 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 in the back. But Abraham, he was called by God to leave his father's household, to leave his homeland of Ur. I said that right, Ur. I like to say it, I'll say it again, He was called to leave and to go to a place that God would show him. God said to him, leave your father's household, leave the land that you're from, and go to the place I'll show you, and I will bless you. I will make you a blessing, and all nations will be blessed through you. So God tells him to leave and go somewhere that he doesn't know where he's going. And amazingly enough, he does. He goes. And Abraham's story, as I said, it takes up a significant portion of the very first book of the Bible. So you see all these things that happen, but this is a long story. And we only see glimpses of it along the way. And as you see glimpses of his story, there are parts of it that are really, really well known. In fact, if you don't know a lot about the Bible, you've probably heard of Abraham and Isaac. Now, Abraham was promised by God two things, essentially. The first thing is that he was promised that God would take him to the land that he would show him. And as far as the eye could see, from the north to the south, from the east to the west, all that he could see would be his. So he promised him land. The second thing that God promised him was offspring. He said, as numerous as the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore will be your offspring. Now, to me, that sounds like a lot of work because I have a 6-month-old right now, and that's a lot of kids. But God promised him offspring and land. So when God said to Abraham, I want you to take your one and only son and I want you to sacrifice him, it was a big deal. It was the exact opposite of what Abraham thought would happen. Because he was thinking that he's going to have a whole lot of kids, and this one kid that he finally had after years and years and years, God actually stopped him from sacrificing his son and gave him a ram instead to sacrifice. But the whole point was, do you believe me, or are you putting your faith in this child? So Abraham, his story was known as a story of faith. In fact, he's called a man of faith, as we'll see later on. But what's interesting, when I was rereading his story, is there's a whole bunch of pieces to his story that if I were Abraham, I'd kind of want, you know, cut out of the story. There's a whole bunch of pieces of it that I kind of want overlooked because they're a little bit, you know, messy. So the first part of a component of a great story is real folks. Real folks. Now, a great story is something about real people. Now, I like to listen to a lot of comedians about how they talk about talking. And even if the story isn't true, like a story like The Lord of the Rings, that this is great epic that people love to see and read. Sorry, I forgot about the book. But people love these stories because even if it's not real, the way that people talk, the way that they interact, the way it could be real. Even if the creatures in it aren't real, but it could be real. So a story, to be compelling, has to at least look like real folks. And the whole thing with Abraham's story, what makes it seem real is that it's messy. If you look on your outline, I have several examples and the places where if after this you hear that and you're like, I got to read more about this. It says where you can read about it. You can go look online and you'll read the stories. The first thing is he lied about his wife twice. Not just once, twice. In fact, he said, in order to protect himself, he lied and said that his wife was his sister. Now, you're probably thinking, lying, being married to your sister, that sounds like a country song. Sorry, country fans. But yeah, he lied twice, saying that his wife was his sister to protect himself, because he thought that he would be in danger if he told the truth that his wife was actually his wife. So he lied. The second thing is that he had a falling out with family. His nephew actually left with him, and there came a point where they had to go their separate ways because there was so much drama going on between them, between the people who were traveling with them. So they had a falling out, and they went their separate ways. The third thing is that he questioned God's promises. After years, because Abraham's story, even though it seems like one thing after another, really we're talking about years passing in between this story to the next, he said, God, how do I know you're really going to give me this land? How do I know that I'm really going to have kids? Because, you know, my wife's really old and I'm really old and, you know, I'm as good as dead. How am I going to have kids? So he questioned God. God, are you really going to do what you said you will do? Then he tried to help God fulfill his promises. Now, this story is a little bit less country music and a little bit more Jerry Springer. But after years of not being able to have kids or not having kids with his wife, he decided they cooked up a scheme. Well, what if instead of you and I, Abraham and his wife Sarah, what if instead of us having kids, God meant that you're supposed to have kids with my maid? What if, you know, you sleep with her and have kids with her, and that's how God's going to fulfill his promise? Now, you can imagine what happens when you have two women sleeping with the same man in the house. Drama. Worth reading. Lastly, he bargained with God. Another story you've probably heard of that's in Abraham's story is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God, because of their wickedness, was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham's nephew, the one that he had a falling out with, was actually living there. So in order to protect his nephew, he decides, okay, God, if there are 50 people worth saving there, will you save them? And God's like, okay. And he says, if there's 45 worth saving, will you save them? And he says, yep. What if there's 40? Okay. And he goes on and on like this, like he's dealing with a used car salesman, or he's on The Price is Right or something. And he keeps telling God, you know, okay, like whittling it down to 10. And it's the end of the story. So he's bargaining with God, trying to get God to change his mind. So all these stories, you know, for someone who's known as being a man of faith, it's really interesting. As you read a story, it doesn't seem like, this doesn't seem like he believes very much, because, you know, he's trying to help God. And when I think about it, though, I absolutely get it. I mean, I personally can relate to trying to help God move things along in my life the direction that I think they need to go. You guys ever done that? I personally can relate to doubts and questions. You know, God, I don't see how what you've said you're going to do, or I don't see how this is true. And I've had doubts like, why, God? Why is this happening to me? So I absolutely can relate to that. But that's what makes a great story, is that they're real folks. It's a story about real people that makes it interesting. So the next part is that it's real folks rooted in faith. Abraham, as I said, was known as a man of faith. And faith is something that you see woven throughout country music, which I think is really interesting, because a lot of country music, like it might be a song called Red Solo Cup, or one that I heard just last night as I was driving home. He said, I'm raising some hell and praising the Lord. Now, those things don't seem like they go together, right? But that's the way that country music is faith is like this underpinning through all of life. You know, it's Kanye West said, you can talk about anything except for Jesus. Well, that might be true in rap, but that's not true in country. In fact, in country, if you don't sing about Jesus, people are like, what's wrong with you? In fact, one of the songs that I didn't use is like, My feet stink, my hair's dirty, and I don't love Jesus. A real country song. So there's this picture of faith being very much a part of country music. And Abraham's story is very much a story of faith. So when it's told in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, I'm actually going to read the way that his story is told. And as I read it, it's printed on your outline. If you hear anything over and over again, I want you to just underline it. And then there will be a quiz after I'm done. So you guys ready? By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. So if we were naming the song about Abraham's life that's sung here, what might you think it's called? By faith, that's right. Now, because it's a country song this week, you have to have parentheses. So it's by faith, parentheses, he went. Because what you see in the song of his life is that by faith, Abraham left Ur to go to the country that God was going to show him. And by faith, he lived there in tents. He lived there as a foreigner and a stranger, like it wasn't his land. By faith, he went and had a child with Sarah, even though they were both well past the time to do that. And by faith, he took his son up the mountain in order to sacrifice him because God asked him to do so. By faith, by faith, by faith. And a great story is one of faith. In fact, you might be surprised to hear me say this, but you do not need to have faith in God to have a great story. Like, what? Can you say that in church? But it's true. I heard just recently, this week, in fact, you probably saw the video on the internet of the 96-year-old man who wrote a song for his wife that he'd been with for some 75 years who had just recently passed away. Didn't you guys see that video? Tears. A lot of tears. Now, that story is a story of faith. Because in order to marry somebody, that moment of walking down the aisle is an act of faith. Because you don't know what's going to happen after you marry somebody. You have no idea what's going to happen. But a lifetime love, a lifelong love, starts with an act of faith. It starts with saying, I'm going to jump in with both feet, even if I don't know what's going to happen. Another story that takes faith, that doesn't require faith in God, is those stories that they tell in Silicon Valley, the legends that you hear, like a startup being started in a garage that becomes a multinational corporation that everybody has to buy their products as soon as they come out, even though there's only a new button on it, right? When you see something like Apple Computers, the way that it starts, you're like, wow. In fact, they make movies about it. Because the story is this story of faith, you know, that we're going to go all in and we're going to try and make something of this, even though it has nothing to do with God. It's a great story. But see, when I think about stories that are great stories, when I think about, is my story worth telling? I want a story that doesn't die with me. I want a story that is so much bigger than my story. And my husband and I will be married 6 years next Sunday, and we're working on a lifetime love. I hope to have a story that we've been married for 60 years. But even if, you know, our kids talk about how wonderful our marriage was, even if people that know us say, you guys have a great marriage, after a couple generations, nobody will even remember us. They might know our name like in a family tree or something, but they won't remember our relationship. And anything that I've learned in the past few years is that there's no such thing as a company that's eternal. There's no such thing as something that we can put our money into in this life that's forever. Because I've seen things that I never thought would go away. You know, I have been shopping for another car, and I just wish I could buy a Saturn. I can't buy a Saturn anymore. Tears. I'll write a country song about it. But it's one of those things that just, you know, life ends. Things on this earth end. And when I think about a story that's significant, I want a story that lasts forever. I want a story that echoes through the ages. And when I look at Abraham's story, it seems exactly like the opposite. Because remember, God promised him two things, land and offspring. Well, when he died, he owned one tiny little piece of land where God had told him to go. And it was a grave that he had buried his wife Sarah in. And he had one child with Sarah. I mean, he did have the child, the Jerry Springer child, and then he had the other children after Sarah. But God had promised through Sarah that there was going to be multitudes. And so it seems like God absolutely swindled him. It seems like what God had promised him absolutely didn't happen. Seems like a country song. Wah, wah. That he died that way. But that's why Abraham is known as a man of faith. Because as it says at the beginning of this chapter that his story is told in Hebrews, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Abraham, all those years he was following God, I'm certain that there were a lot of days where it was by faith. It wasn't just the amazing things that are told, but there's a lot of things where it was just the day in, day out life. By faith, I'm going to stay in this tent another day. Because even though God told me this land would be mine, I'm going to stay like a stranger and a foreigner. By faith, I'm going to wait another day to have a child. Because God told me. So the nature of faith is that it's not seen, it's not proven. And that can be really exhausting. In fact, that's when I think about my story in my life. It's those in-between days, not the big shining moments that someone might tell a story about. But it's the everyday stuff that's by faith. So the first part is that it's real folks. The second part is that they're real folks rooted in faith. And those things can be anybody's story. But like I said, I want a story that's so much bigger than me. I want a story that never ends. So the third component of a great story that we see in Abraham is that it leaves a legacy. Real folks rooted in faith leave a legacy. Because in another part, Abraham's story is told, and you can see the legacy that it left. Even though it seemed like at the end of his life that God had completely failed him, that was so not the case. It says, so also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. If you're taking notes, underline that. Those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, the people who weren't Jewish, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. Remember, that's the promise that God had told him. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So Abraham, by faith, believed that God was who he said he was. This was before the law. This was before Judaism at all. Like this, he believed that God telling him to leave his country and go where he would show him that this, that God, what were you saying was true? He believed him. And it's easy to think that, you know, we tell a story because of what he did, but the most important part was that he believed. It was by faith that he was made right with God. And I had you underline that those who have faith are children of Abraham because everyone, even today, the people who believe that God is who he says he is, the people who believe that when Jesus said that he is the Son of God, that he is the only way to God the Father, that when we believe that, we are children of Abraham. That it's as countless as the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore, the number of people who believe the way that Abraham believed. So through faith, our story becomes part of God's story. If you're taking notes, through faith, our story becomes part of God's story. Because the truth is, we can build a great story. But the only way we'll have a story that lasts forever is when our story is part of God's story. Because God's story is the story that will last forever. I like to think of it as my story through faith, when I believe that God is who he says he is, becomes one brushstroke in this giant painting that God is making. Abraham's life is one brushstroke in this giant painting. One single piece of it. And a lot of times we don't get to see what that brushstroke looks like in the grand scheme of things. Every once in a while you get these glimpses, and it's awe-inspiring. In fact, I've been working for quite some time on this project that we're about to roll out in the next couple weeks. And it was one of those things that even though it took a lot of time and a lot of energy and there were a lot of details to do, it was amazing because as I was collecting stories of lives that had changed through faith in Jesus, I realized that I could see parts of God's story. And there were things that you would never, ever expect. The words that someone said were meaningful and they changed somebody's life. They changed somebody's mind in a way that they'd never seen before. Like they'd never seen Jesus that way before. Or there were things like one person would put their faith in Jesus and it had a ripple effect. The people around them would see and say, wow, that person is absolutely different. And a lot of times, as these people were living out their life stories, they had no idea what was going on. They had no idea what was the impact they were having on the people around them. But through faith, our story becomes part of God's story and becomes part of an eternal story. So the last section that I want to look at today is how to live a story worth telling. And honestly, the first part of that, like I said, you can have a great story, but I know everybody in here wants a life that matters. They want a life that is significant. They want a life that people remember. And the first part of a story that is like that, that lasts forever, is to believe that God is who he says he is. And to trust him, to follow him, even though you don't know where you're going. But to trust that he is who he says he is and that he is worth following with your whole life. So I urge you, if you have never believed that Jesus is who he says he is, when he says he's the Son of God and the only way to the Father, I know you want a life that lasts and lasts, a story that is significant. So I urge you today to make that decision and say, I don't know where you're going to take me, but I trust that you are who you say you are, and you are the only way that I can be made right with God. Right after all the story about Abraham and by faith, and there's a whole bunch of people listed in that section of Hebrews who by faith trusted God and what happened with their life and that their stories were telling, the author turns to saying, well, this is what we do when we look at all of these lives. So what do we do after we consider Abraham's life? Well, it says on your outline, this verse is listed. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And one translation says, since you have all these pioneers, these people who lived by faith, cheering you on, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Throw off everything that's weighing you down and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's the first part. You live a real life. A lot of times the race that's marked out for us has these long stretches where it feels like your life doesn't matter, where it feels like, you know, even if you have trusted that Jesus is who he says he is, you've trusted him with your life, you've made him the Lord of your life, that your life still doesn't matter. You know, you feel like I'm spinning my wheels. I'm in the same place. I'm exhausted. So you can go through periods like that. You will go through periods like that. But the urge is to run with perseverance the race marked out for us, to live a real life. And as I said before, Abraham's story had all these things that it's like, I don't want that told. In fact, you might be thinking that parts of your life disqualify you from having a great story. But in God's story, the way that God works, the stories that often we don't want told make for the most amazing transformation. They make for the most amazing peace when we step back and we see what God does with our lives. And our everyday lives, our everyday walking around, going to work, going to school, changing diapers, life matters. So the author continues. He says to run the race with perseverance marked out. I'll try that again. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Jesus is the pioneer of our faith and the perfecter of faith. We fix our eyes on him as we run with perseverance because he gives us the faith to keep going. He gives us the faith to put our foot in front of the other one more day. So we live a real life rooted in Jesus. Because like I said, you can have faith in a lot of things and you can have a great story. But the only way our story is eternal is when it's rooted in he who is eternal, when it's rooted in Jesus. And Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So the third part, that Jesus went through everything he went through, dying on the cross, because he could see what was to come. He could step back from the pain that he was going through and see what would happen on the other side of that pain. So to have a story worth telling, to live a life worthy of song, live a real life rooted in Jesus, focused on eternity. As we focus on the big picture, you see that by faith, I don't know what's going to happen with the life that God has given me. And I don't know how my story is going to be a part of his story. But by faith, I know that it is. By faith, I know that there will be a time, maybe not in this life, but in the next, when I can step back and see the people that God touched through my life. And there are days where it's exhausting, and there are days when we get tired because it feels like same old, same old. This life is just passing me by. But by faith, we know that it's not. I want you to imagine with me what our lives would be like if we could have those eyes, if we could live a life that's rooted in Jesus and focused on eternity. Imagine what you will see when you meet God face to face and he shows you the life, how your life, that stroke that he used in his masterpiece, has impacted other people. I want you to imagine just how your life is like a ripple effect to the people around you. And if today you made the decision that I'm going to trust that Jesus is who he says he is, I want you to imagine how from this point on, your life, your legacy is eternal. This legacy of what God's doing, it's ultimately about him. That we get to be a part of it. That we get to be a part of the picture that he's drawing. We get to be a part of the story that he's telling. So every part of your life matters. And every part of your life in God's hands will make an eternal impact. Would you guys pray with me? Heavenly Father, I take a moment to thank you that you take our everyday lives when we trust you, when we put our faith in Jesus, and you transform them into something radiant, something that shines in this world. And God, I pray that for those of us who are tired, who feel like our lives don't matter, I pray that you'd give us a glimpse this week of the story that you are telling, and that we would be encouraged and that we would no longer be weary. And God, I pray for the people who haven't yet trusted you, that they would see you and they would know that you are who you say you are, that you are worth our faith, and by faith that they would trust you, by faith that they would follow you. and by faith that all of us together, when we meet you, would see the masterpiece that you've created with our lives. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.